Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is the Technori Podcast live from WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Sitting next to me is a man who brought me my favorite thing, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It's my birthday, which is pretty awesome. David Arnson, you are the CEO and founder of Peanut Butter Inc. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Of course. Well, I want to thank you. So I was telling everybody before, it's my birthday, which is awesome. But rarely do I meet somebody who just always exclusively brings me Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, which you do, is not a terrible branding technique.
Right.
And my girlfriend has a peanut allergy, so for me, I don't get peanuts very often, so this is like my brain is exploding with peanuts. The only thing I'm missing right now is booze, but we had another sponsor, thank you, Hunt Club. They brought us booze, so we got booze and peanut butter. About to go crazy.
We just got our latest delivery of 25-pound box of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups miniatures. So we
how are you not
encourage
600
anyone
pounds?
To come and visit us.
I am eating one right now while we're talking. How are you not 600 pounds?
I grew up working in a bakery, so I know how to handle it.
Yeah, you're probably just tired of it. So I got to ask you, while I finish chewing my peanut butter, tell us a little bit about Peanut Butter Inc. I'm going to ask you a bunch of different questions, just random stuff I'm going to fire at you because you've made some news recently. You were selected. Are you the only one from 1871? Only one from Chicago, even better. Selected to Google's pitch contest in San Francisco, which is June 8th. So congratulations on that, by
Thank
the way.
You.
And we're going to find out in the next 10 or 15 minutes or so exactly why and how that became such a huge hit. But before we do that, sitting next to me while I continue eating Reese's Peanut Butter Cups is my guy, Sean Frelick from The Feed, who's going to dish on some interesting tech bites and things that maybe we missed on this week. Sean,
That's right.
It away.
All right. Glue your ears to the speaker. I'm going to feed them. That's right. I'm Sean Frelick, host of The Feed, where I dish top tech news with a bonus slice of weird. Uber's win-at-all-costs business approach has been blowing up in its face again. A driver's advocacy group in New York City says that Uber is guilty of wage theft. The rideshare startup will be paying back millions to its drivers after mistaken deductions were made. Uber has said that it was a simple calculation mistake, one that netted Uber an extra $200 million. Uber was making after-tax deductions instead of before-tax, which goes against the driver contract. This means that Uber will be paying back millions to New York City Uber drivers. Makes you wonder if anything in Chicago stinks in a similar way, because if you know Chicago, you know you don't have to dig deep to find any mishandling. Uber faces a mountain of criticism for playing fast and loose and its climb to be the biggest startup in the world. This reminds me of the classic lesson taught to me by the plumber. You want a job done right, you want it done fast. Well, Mr. Travis Kalanick, CEO of Uber, which is it, bub? This week we commemorate the 40th anniversary of the original Star Wars. Maybe it was in that theater where your parents shared their first kiss, or maybe something below the belt. You may be interested to learn that the University of Illinois Chicago, UIC, played a crucial role in helping Luke Skywalker and the rebellion destroy the Death Star back in 1977. UIC's Electronic Visualization Laboratory is responsible for creating the 3D rendering of the Death Star that is seen in the rebellion briefing scene before Luke Skywalker uses the Force to fire at the weak spot and save the universe. The computer that designed the blueprint is currently in an Elk Grove Village warehouse where it should be receiving handsome royalties. This week's Technori shoutout goes to Dining Grades. You may have seen the stories this week about gas station nachos that killed one man and paralyzed another woman. Foodborne illness kills 3,000 Americans each year, according to the CDC. Dining Grades founder Dr. Steuben said 40% of illnesses come from the restaurants. So Dining Grades, which rates Chicago restaurants based on hygiene, allows consumers to make an educated dining choice. Be careful when you eat those hot and ready foods at the gas station. I believe that goes without saying, but sometimes those two-for-one sausages, the little hairs on them, look good after a few drinks. That's it for today's show. Find me again on Monday night on technori.com. Next time you get hungry for me.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't eat out at gas station foods too often, do you?
Not usually, no.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I usually try to avoid that, although I'm not gonna lie. I've had numerous times where the knockoff pizza puff said my name and was like, oh, I'm pretty loaded right now. I'm thinking,
yes,
that's gonna work.
It's usually at 2 a.m. is like the witching hour when those little foods in that heater.
They like have kind of like a hardened hockey puck facade to them at this point.
Yeah, extra toasty.
Oh my God, extra toasty. Great job. I don't know what the hell to make out of Travis and the guys over at Uber, but I'm sure that we've got a guy sitting next to us here, Dave Arnson, who can give us a little idea, because I feel like maybe if Uber gave its employees some way to pay off their insane college debt, that might help out.
There's probably a few drivers out there who are driving with Uber so they can pay down their own employees.
I bet there's a ton of them.
Yeah.
I would think that's a huge thing. So we brought Sean because he's the man with the feed, But and also because, like me, he probably has some college debt.
Massive debt. Six
massive
figures,
debts.
Yeah, six figures.
Too. Yeah, I'm in the. When I describe it now, it's like $250,000 or something stupid. It's a ridiculous number. So we've kind of alluded to what peanut butter does. So why don't you give us all sort of a quick rundown on like exactly what peanut butter does, and then we're going to start throwing some questions at you.
We help employers attract college-educated talent by administering student loan assistance programs. We make it easy for companies to contribute toward the repayment of employee student loans, and then we give employees the tools they need to get themselves out from under student debt faster.
So with that said, I have to ask you, like, what does that actually look like? So we talked to all kinds of companies. They give us kind of the rundown of what they do, but I still have no idea, like, how that actually would work. So if you can give us some examples of maybe some clients and people in Chicago that they might know that are using this and maybe any feedback you've learned about it.
Yeah. Our average client will contribute $100 a month toward each employee's student loans. What $100 a month does for the average person with student debt is it gets them out of debt 30% faster than they otherwise would and saves them over $11,000 in principal and interest on the life of their loans.
So this is essentially like a 401k, but instead of pissing my money down that, I am putting it towards the business is contributing money towards my debt.
For companies, they want engagement from their workforce. And a lot of people aren't contributing to the 401k. They're staying on their parents' health plan until age 26 under ACA. And the other perks for now, and the other perks that are offered, they don't so much care about because everybody's got a foosball table or a ping pong table. But when companies engage their workforce with meaningful benefits, those people are more likely to accept job offers and to stay with the company longer. So you as a business owner get more engaged talent.
And I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. When you first came on the show, I don't even know if it was Technori or it was the Tomorrow's Business Today version of this show. When we talked about this, you know, really, at the end of the day, it's very similar to the 401k in that the young people aren't thinking about the future. So it's like to them, the interest that they're making on that money is sort of like, I don't know, down the road. Like it just doesn't matter. The interest that matters to me right now is the interest that's continuing to chime mm-hmm. money against me, you know? And so you're essentially created a way for the people to curb that interest and get their employers to help them out. And it's brilliant. I mean, I don't even want to ask you because you obviously work for Technori, but Sean, what would the impact be if I were to say to you guys, instead of the free gym membership that you get to work out at the place that's above, I should ask John if he was mic'd up, that's above where we office out of, yeah. If I could get your student debt knocked down.
That'd be great because I think myself and a lot of people like me, I think the number is around 40%, people in my age group are living month to month. And student loans oftentimes don't really fit into my month-to-month budget, especially right now. So, and of course, that interest is accumulating. It's this monster in the back of my head at all times. So it would be awesome and relieving to be able to chip away at it month-to-month. That $100 that you mentioned, is that yeah. money being cut from somewhere else in order to be put towards student loans?
Well, the funny thing is that every company today is paying down their employees' student loans already. They're just not getting credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a paycheck, money goes into your paycheck, employee pays off the loan, just like you pay off your home loan, your car loan, you pay for your living expenses, but it's your accomplishment. Tomorrow, with our system, because we funnel dedicated dollars, it's often a little bit more expensive for the employer because they're putting those dollars towards this, but it's quantifiable. The impact that the employee sees on their student loans is quantified every month. We tell them how much they saved. We tell them how much faster they're getting out from under student debt. So for employers, they've got constant bragging rights about all the good that they're doing for their workforce, and they can use that to recruit new people to keep them around longer.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I thought was like one of the cooler tools for this is the fact that as a recruiting tool, if the vast majority of companies right now don't offer this.
Yeah.
For those who are early adopters, what a great way to get employees to not only buy in and believe that you bought into them, but also keep them around, is that why would I leave here if I'm making a decent wage? I somewhat like my job, at least a little bit. And I also am getting my student debt paid on. Like I feel like this is such a great barrier for a company to use to sort of keep people from poaching their people.
Yeah, no doubt. The burden of student debt is felt by almost every household in America. Today, there are 44 million Americans who have student loans, and in aggregate, all of our loans together make up $1.4 trillion of student debt. The average cost for a person with student loans for their monthly payment is more than the cost of owning a car. And that burden is keeping people from living the American dream, from getting married, from buying a home, from saving for retirement. And when people are thinking about a lot about how to make ends meet and how to deal with this burden, they're not as productive at work. They're distracted. They're dealing with personal financial matters. So there are a lot of ways that it's affecting the productivity of today's workforce.
I actually had a really long conversation about this earlier this week, talking about the fact that with my insane debt that, Sean, I'm sorry that it's still top of mind for you, but I literally don't give a shit anymore, honestly, about it. It's so high that it's like, if I got a regular job, I would literally have to, like, it'd be a negative for me. If I got a regular job that paid me a salary, unless it was an exorbitant amount of money, yeah, it would be a negative. I wouldn't be able to afford to even live my life because I'd be paying so much for these student loans. And what it's going to lead to is this like massive collapse where at some point the government's going to have to be like, all right, man, we're just eating this $1 trillion mm-hmm. worth of loans. And then the question becomes like, well, the good guy who actually tried really hard to make money to pay his loans off, he's actually going to be the one who gets the sacrifice because sadly, you've showed a record that you can actually pay your student loans, which is why I don't pay you very much, because I don't want you to get in this trouble.
Well, I haven't made much of a concerted effort to pay off my student loans either.
Good man, Charlie Brown.
Part of where I'm on the same page as you is the number is so astronomical that it's like, how can I even take this seriously? I don't have the means.
And that's like, and they didn't like, so like I did this one time, I wasted everyone's time. Well, I'm lying to you. I've done this like 15 times because it's just fun for me. But I wasted the person on the phone's time numerous times now. When they call and they go into the student loan thing and they try to get you into forbearance, you're like, you know, so far you haven't mentioned all of the running debt and the recapitalization that happened about six times since I got my, you know, first loan started. And I laughed at them. I was like, you gave me, not you, obviously the school gave me the education. They issued this loan. They took the loan from you and you issued me a loan. I got a degree where coming out after an $80,000+ degree, that the job that I was tailored up for is a job here in media where the average person who does not full time is 17.5 and anyone who's full time is under 50. The best job in the world as a producer that's, you know, right out of college is at Bloomberg at 50. So the money that you charge me to get a job to pay this is already out of whack. You know what I mean? And so from my standpoint is always like, well, I had to go out and create my own job and I had to go out and take out even more money and I had to take out credit cards and loans and work my butt off to get to this point. So I'm not paying you shit.
We hear a very similar story from the employees of our clients. Today we're serving employers across the U.S. from Maryland to Hawaii, as large as 30,000 employees and soon to be larger. Locally here, we're working with some great companies like Medix, which is one of the top staffing companies in the country, Rise Interactive, which
John
is a
Morris,
perennial
he's
favorite
be in not long
for
from now.
Best places to work in Chicago. And, you know, We just posted a video with Medix on our website at getpeanutbutter.com, and it's employees talking about what it means to have student debt and what it meant to be on their own before and now have the help, you know, kind of a helping hand, but an arm around their shoulder to get out from under this burden from their employer, Medix.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, I think it's one of the reasons, I mean, you've got a lot of great reasons that Google selected you to pitch, but one of them is you are trying to, and I don't know if people pay enough attention to this. You hear the griping, like I bitch and moan all the time about it, but you don't actually, I don't think it gets enough conversation. One of the great problems that's facing this country is this student loan debt, because we've got the you know, all the things that I already mentioned, not to mention when it throws out of whack the value of education, it starts to topple educational institutions because they charge so much they can't afford to get, it's like, yep, insurance. It's like probably insurance is one and education is probably number two on that list. And you guys are going about it in an incredibly novel way that actually, unlike all the other stuff, actually solves the problem because the bill actually is being paid, right, which is incredible.
People might not know it, but student loan debt has outpaced the total amount of student loan debt is now greater than the total amount of credit card debt in this country. Mm. It's the second largest category of debt, only behind mortgage debt.
And that's insane.
Yeah, it really is.
I can't even, like, so I got to ask, like, there has to be a good personal story here. Like, how you had, like, what happened to you that you were like, you know what, this is a great, because this is such a brilliant idea, and I feel like I don't know how, it never would have dawned on me.
Well, the funny name for our company comes from my personal experience, which was, you know, the only thing I could afford to eat when I was in college was peanut butter. So I think I think a lot of people can relate to that, whether it was peanut butter, or some people ask, why didn't you name the company Ramen? Well, that domain was taken. But it's scraping to get by. But what really sparked the concept for me was a piece of research. I have a background in HR outsourcing, so I keep my mind, you know, keep reading about trends in human resources and benefits. And one study came from Aon in 2014. That study said that two-thirds of people in their 20s and more than half of people in their 30s are not contributing to 401k plans up to the extent their employer is willing to match. I know that's a mouthful, but effectively, millennials aren't contributing to 401k plans or leaving money on the table. And I thought, well, of course, it's because we are paying down our student loans. So I went back to business owners who I knew and business leaders, and by and large, everyone said, I'd love to contribute. I'd love to offer more meaningful benefits that my employees care about, but like, how do I do that? Who should be eligible? How much should I contribute? I don't want to hire extra HR people and build systems to keep all that information secure and make payments. And I'm like, I'll build that. That's what we've done.
You've done an awesome job. Because I mean, since first meeting you, the growth you guys have had and the traction and the, you know, signing up major companies, I mean, these aren't small potato companies you're talking about. So you've done an absolutely phenomenal job. As an entrepreneur, we often go through all of the ups and downs, and we sort of, I don't know, on this show, we talk a lot about like what's the story behind you and how you kind of got into this thing. But as we start to expand the show out longer and bigger and better, I hope, we're going to start asking questions more on the personal note, like just as an individual, what have been your lifetime experiences as an entrepreneur? I'll put it this way, either your best or your worst or somewhere in the middle will suffice.
Well, an interesting story comes to mind, and I would say that the lesson to be learned for other entrepreneurs is keep your head up. Keep your head up and be aware of what's around you. And this was a very specific example, but I think it can play into a lot of other scenarios. August of last year, I was walking home from work. It was twilight, and I was buried in my phone. But you know, we live in an urban setting, in a city, and I didn't notice when a guy came up to me with a gun and demanded that I give him everything I've got. And at first, he was so young, I thought it was a joke. I laughed, and then he jabs a gun in my gut, and he says, "Get to the side of the road." And before I knew it, his buddy was there with a gun too. So gave him what I had.
Which was a bag of peanut, peanut M&Ms and some Reese's Pieces.
He could have had it all. But I walked away from the situation without any extra holes in my body, and that was the best part. But what I learned is to keep my head up. Keep my head up, whether I'm walking around in the city, not typing on my phone. Keep my head up, whether I'm, you know, I think that takes, that you think about that as just a positive. Be aware of what else is going on around you. And there's so many great things. And that's what I love about your show, particularly because I learned so much about what else is going on in this ecosystem. As an entrepreneur, we're building our company. We've got most of our employees now located at 1871. And it's been such a great place to build. And people often ask me, what else is going on? What else is going on there? And that's the place where I keep my head down.
Yeah.
But I need to keep my head up more. It's only I learn about what else is going on around me because
you just
guys
tell them, check out Technori, man. That's all I got to do, and they'll be good to go. Which, you know, which reminds me, I mean, this we obviously have our Technori Showcase on Tuesday. So for those of you who are interested, check us out on Tuesday. That'd be probably a good time to do it.
I'll be there.
Will you actually be there?
Absolutely.
Holy cow, this is awesome. Sweet. I'm happy to know that. And, you know, you actually bring up a good point, though, when you talk about the head up, because we joked about this before the show about the fact that entrepreneurs are known for keeping their head down. You're always just head down, working on it, just firing through stuff. And while that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get, you know, held up with a gun, we miss out on a lot of the things in life that are fun and important. And I've said this, I don't even, at this point, I want to say it was a Steve Jobs thing, but I have no idea at this point where I came up with this. And I've said it many, many times to people, including my girlfriend who does not appreciate it. And that is that, like, to be a successful entrepreneur, and this doesn't necessarily have to be the case for everyone, but for me, it is. I try and I work really, really hard to put what the average person calls their life, their normal daily experience. I take 70% of it and I want to fit it into 7% of my life. So when I wake up, I'm on autopilot. Clothing, don't care, same thing. Car, don't care, same thing. Like anything in my life, cooking, I eat the same SpaghettiOs every day. Don't care. I don't care about anything. It's just business, relationships, building. And it's, I actually like it because I'm that kind of a person. And I think you do have to be regimented to be a successful entrepreneur. It's just an obsessive compulsive mindset to begin with. But when I step back and I think about it, it's like every single friend that I have, when we talk about stuff, I have a hard time relating now where I never did before, because I flat out have had my head down so long now that I don't think of risks. I don't think of threats. I don't think of anything. I just keep on plugging. And it's like, I could just about imagine being in your shoes when all of a sudden somebody pulls a gun on and you're like, is this a joke? Like, what the hell, man? I'm writing an email to so-and-so.
Yeah.
And like, that dude doesn't care at all about that. He's about to take your life. We as entrepreneurs, I think, have to find a way to maybe the number should be more like 50% into 5%, not 70% of your life. The main takeaway is if you live your entire life with your head down, you're not going to enjoy any of the success that you had. And so it's a good message. It's a good story.
Right.
Not a good story, but a good way to tell the story.
Thanks.
Very cool. Where do people go? Obviously, Get Peanut Butter. Where do people go to learn more about this? And how, more importantly, do businesses actually plug this in? How do they learn more about and plug it in?
Well, the beauty about what we offer is that the system's already built. Companies can start differentiating today. They can start engaging their talent more today with student loan assistance. So call us, 800-913-6651. A lot of the questions that we help employers with is, how many of my employees have student debt? And we've got proprietary models where we can help you figure that out. How should I structure my student loan assistance plan, and how many people are going to participate? We've got a client solutions team that can help you work through those questions and help your organization with the change management involved in rolling out a major new benefit. So all that's part of our program. We can help you out today. Give us a buzz or check out our website. We publish a lot of our learnings around student loan assistance plan design and communications on our blog from our client solutions team. It's at getpeanutbutter.com. So large, mid-size, even small companies can use this tool today to start improving the way that they engage their talent.
Awesome. Make that check out to Get Peanut Butter Inc. And congratulations, seriously. You've done an amazing job. Good luck at the Google pitch. I hope to come back and have a parade here for you. A big parade down Michigan Avenue if you come back. Or I guess it'll be at the Google building. But Dave, thank you so much for this. Thank you again for the Reese's Pieces that are now down to two.
My pleasure.
This is
awesome.
Thank
you, Scott.
Thank you, of course. You can watch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon, or follow you at Freilich Sean.
Yeah, that's right.
Freilich Sean. Boom, right. That's a wrap.